Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
6:16, pretty remarkable scene on the Eisenhower this morning, Mary, and horrible accident. Triple fatal?
Triple fatal. Looks just like one car as well. It happened about 2 o'clock this morning.
And the outbound Eisenhower, obviously a mess.
Yep.
The investigation takes forever, so, and rightfully so, so that's going to be all morning, I guess, right?
Well, about an hour ago, they said another hour to an hour and a half. So hopefully, I mean, I'm hoping by, you know, at least or as early as 6:30 it might be cleared. But I'm not going to promise anything.
But to see the entire outbound Eisenhower empty.
Yes. And scary, isn't it?
It's bizarre. And the frontage road from, I don't know, what would it be, Western to Damon?
Yeah.
And beyond, just a line of headlights.
Yeah, diverted off at Oakley. So it's not a, you know, you don't want to be diverted off on the Eisenhower ever, actually. So
inbound's a mess from everybody looking, and outbound's right. A mess, period.
Yeah. You can't see too much from the inbound trip because of the, you know, CTA track. So it's not, the delay isn't too bad right now. It's from Independence.
I'll give you the top six at six, tell you what's coming up on the show in just a second, and tell you what the top six at six is. How about that, too?
It's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
Top six at six on 720 WGN.
All right, so this is new. Every morning, we'll do the top six at six. It's nothing like Rose's top five at five because there's six of them. And it's not five, it's six.
I thought it was a huge difference. I didn't see any anything, Steve.
Probably didn't even need to point that out then,
mm-mm,
I guess. No.
No.
Here's what we're looking at. Inauguration updates. It could rain all day on Friday. 100% chance of rain in the afternoon. And umbrellas are not allowed for security reasons for the center to front area. So the first, several thousand people. Mm-hmm. Sandberg live at the White House.
And so I think that means it's good luck, like on a wedding when it rains.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It could also mean God is crying. So are you going to the women's parade?
I was going to go to the women's march in Washington, D.C., but all of the flights now, well, even when I look, were about $800 round trip. So I'm going to be at the women's march here in Chicago, which is actually shaping up to be huge.
Huge?
Huge.
Well, we can pop for the $800 ticket. I can get it from Carmen.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And I'll book that now.
No problem.
Did you knit your pink hat yet, Andrea?
No, this is part of like a sale. They're selling t-shirts and pink hats and things like that.
Well, good.
Yeah. But no, I'll be.
Money's going to charity, I hope.
I'm sure it is.
We'll
yeah.
find out. The other thing from the inauguration that developed yesterday is the B Street Band is out. The Bruce
Three
Springsteen
Doors
cover
down?
Band. No, Three Doors Down still in at okay. this point. But the Bruce Springsteen cover band has decided it's a career problem if they stay in. So they're out.
That's true, right?
I mean, that's not legit. Making
it okay.
MH370, the search for that missing flight with 200-plus people on it is over. The three countries involved in the search have all agreed they can't continue. The families now have very few options. How do you even process that?
3 years they've been.
But how do you process the fact that I say goodbye to you at the airport, you get on a plane, and I never see you again, and I have no idea what happened to you?
Yeah, it's horrible. Horrible.
It's just mind-boggling. One of the Trump cabinet picks has a big ethics problem this morning. Tom Price, Health and Human Services, bought $15,000 in a medical supply company stock. 2 days later, introduced legislation that would be very beneficial to them, putting off some restrictions on payments that would have cost them a lot of money for at least a couple of years. And now is saying he has a broker that makes those buys. He didn't know it happened, and he'll sell it.
It's called insider trading. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what Martha Stewart went to prison for.
The ethics, this is how ridiculous Congress is. The ethics folks in Congress said, we don't go backwards. We can only look forward with ethics problems. What are you, psychic? How do you look forward?
No.
And this congressman looks shady. I got to keep an eye on him. Only way you can do it is look backwards.
Isn't that why you press charges?
Yeah, because something happened.
Press charges, right?
Not because something is going to happen, right. Nostradamus. Something already happened.
That was the most ridiculous response I've ever heard to that. Do you think he'll get confirmed?
I think he may, because he's already said, wow, I'm sorry, what a dumb thing to do, blah, blah, blah. And it's, you know, all his brothers and sisters that are in charge of slapping his hand.
They've all said amen.
So he may get in. Obviously, the Republicans have the votes, too. The Democrats will make a huge stink over it, and frankly, they should. Cubs ready to defend after their White House trip. Let's go live to the White House, where on the lawn, Mark Carmen is standing by. What are we looking at for spring training? Is this a healthy bunch head to toe?
I think the three-peat's on the way here, Steve. That's how I see it.
Three-peat?
Sure, why not?
Well, they've only gotten one, so can we get a two-peat first?
Well, sure, that's the normal progression, but right. You want to be out in front of the curve here, Steve. So I think, as we started last year in the playoffs, it's going to be a three-peat. I thought it was nice to see Dexter Fowler with the Cubbies yesterday, but that's the biggest thing going into spring training to me. Who's going to lead off? Kyle Schwarber. You hear that name all the time. I'm telling you, Albert Almora Jr. will have the gig by July the 1st.
I like him. Why weren't Lackey and Lester there? I knew Arrieta wasn't going to be
there. Yeah, all
the
pitchers were like AWOL.
Lackey and Lester.
They had to take people to school. They had to go to the dentist.
Is that why?
They had to run errands. They had to go to Jewel. I don't know. They're all the excuses sounded lame to me. Dexter Fowler yesterday tried to heat up the Cubs-Cardinals rivalry a little more. What did he say, Carl?
Dexter Fowler yesterday.
He said, I'll just paraphrase it. He said, I look forward to coming back next year with the Cardinals.
Oh, okay, well, that's
what?
Fine.
Good, yeah, good luck, Dexter.
He's going to get a standing ovation when he comes back. And, hey, they loved him there, and they'll love him in St. Louis, and he helped the Cubs win a World Series. I'm good.
I like him.
If he keeps being mouthy, he's not going to get a standing ovation.
He's also the guy who hit, what, 2-for-20 in the playoff in the World Series?
I don't know. Is that right?
Yeah, he wasn't a – he had a standout last game.
I don't know.
I mean, he led off game 7 with a home run. I'll never forget
it. Okay, yeah, that was big.
Carmen's getting emotional right now.
Okay, he brought Obama's a pair of Jordans, too. I didn't see the – maybe I'm just like – I'm repressing the fact that he plays for the Cardinals. I missed that comment, Steve Munn.
He's dead to us.
Eugene Cernan, the last man to walk on the moon, died yesterday. He was 82 years old. Today on the program, we'll have an author and literally a rocket scientist. You know, how many meetings have I been in where people go, Steve, it's not rocket science. In this case, it is. It's Homer Hickman is his name. And written a number of books, a couple of movies based on his books. And this is a Spike Odell tip. Spike Odell, resident space nut. I guess it'd be, what would he be? He's retired now.
Can we call him a space geek?
Yeah, well, he's definitely a space geek. But what do you call somebody who is no longer with the organization? You make him an honorary emeritus. Thank you. He's our space nut emeritus.
I almost said posthumous, but
Spike,
no.
Hey, whoa, hey, no, no, no.
Sorry. Wait,
he's completely healthy. Don't be frightened, people. But where are we going with the space program? We'll talk to Homer Hickman about that, because are we going to continue to hitch rides with Russia? Maybe, I don't know.
I don't think so.
And Donald Trump's fond of saying that Americans don't care about seeing his taxes. Well, tell that to a new poll that 71% of Americans think Trump should reveal his taxes now. Oh, he can't. He's under audit. Oh, boy, I forgot that part. He's got to get a new accountant. This apparently is the dumbest accountant in history, because this audit's been going on since about 1994.
Who is the 29%
that don't want to see it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would think just out of curiosity you'd want to see it at this
point. How about in the press conference last week, though, he said, I won. I don't think I'm going to show him.
Yeah. He has no intention of doing it at all. This is exciting. Sources, I can't say who, have forwarded me the speech that Donald Trump himself wrote to welcome the Cubs to the White House, because the timing was such that you wouldn't know when the Cubs were coming in. So we actually put pen to paper, and he wrote a speech welcoming the Cubs. I'm going to read it. I don't do a Trump impression. I'm going to read that to you coming up in a few minutes.
Okay, good.
Actually, I could do it with a bad Trump impression. I'll just read it.
I look forward to that. I'm glad Obama welcomed them, though, just for the Chicago factor.
Plus, the timing was certainly better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I made a lot of promises in 2008. Even I was not crazy enough to suggest that during these 8 years we would see the Cubs win the World Series. But I did say that there has never been anything false about hope.
6:42, it's the love theme from The Miracle.
Baseball season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. They're singing go, Cubs,
go. You've heard the joke, right? And I don't know if this is a Bill F. original. Who are the 26 people you'd least expect to see in the White House? The Cubs and Donald Trump?
That's a great one. I mean, that's a good zinger.
Well, I have in my hand a speech that was sent to me off the record. You know, as far as the source of the speech goes. This is the speech that Trump wrote if he were going to greet the Cubs. Now, again, I wish I did a Trump impression. I don't.
Okay, no.
So I'm just going to read this to you. I'm going to try to read it to you with Trump's attitude.
Okay.
This was written by Donald Trump.
Okay.
I, Donald Trump, would like to welcome the world champion Chicago Cubs to my house, sometimes called the White House. We'll probably change it to the House of Trumps. Is that great or what?
That's perfect.
So I want to congratulate the Cubs on finally winning the World Series. As you know, they were huge losers, but last year they won, just like Trump, which I think we can agree is no coincidence. I mean, come on, don't be stupid. The crooked media probably won't even cover this. You know, they didn't say anything about the World Series. You all know that. But they might after today because I'm talking about them, which is terrific because I'm terrific. So we love the Cubs. Am I right? Tremendous. As a matter of fact, I was talking to their owner, terrific guy, very good friend of mine, Tim Rickles. He said, and a lot of people are saying this. I'm not saying this, but a lot of people are saying this. People are saying Trump inspired the Cubs to win. People are saying that. And it's true. It's true. You can see it in a lot of ways. Like their third baseman, Chris Bryant. He's terrific. Isn't he terrific, folks?
I like him.
Love him.
I was just talking to him before I came out here, and he told me he's from Las Vegas, which is a terrific town, and I gave him some advice. I know he appreciated it. I said, stick with American prostitutes. You can't always count on the Russian hookers to keep their big mouth shut. So I could tell by the look on his face he was amazed.
Russian hookers.
I mean, you could see this in the Rose Garden. You could see him laying this out.
Of course, yep.
Then there's the big guy at first base, which was my position when I played. I was a terrific athlete, totally terrific. Could have played for the Yankees. I was a great hitter, like I am now. You hit Trump, I'm going to hit you back with a vicious tweet that I can hide behind. Anthony Rizzo, very good friend of mine. I gave him his nickname, the Big Rizzo. Everybody calls him that. And then there's the great pitcher, Jake Arriola.
Oh, no.
He loves Trump, but he couldn't be here today, which is okay because I'm giving him a high-paying cabinet position to coach my son, Barron. Barron's terrific. He's a great athlete. Not as good as his father, you understand, but he's really, 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 really good.
Obama messed up Arriola's name.
Did he call him Jake Arriola?
It was like it wasn't Arriola, but it wasn't perfect. He was a little bit off.
So here we are with the Chicago Cubs, who Hillary Clinton claims she's a fan of, which we know is not true because she's not here. Wait, how could she be here? Trump beat her huge. Loser. Too bad, Hillary. So sad. And the Cubs have a great manager, John Madden. I think we all remember him as a big league NFL coach, big league. He looks great, doesn't he? You've lost a lot of weight, John. And Mayor Rahm Emanuel is here. He wants to be Trump's friend now. He supported Hillary. Good move, Mayor. I think we know how that worked out. Don't be a moron, Rahm. But we're glad you're here, Mayor. Aren't we glad he's here? But where else would you be? Out in the woods with Hillary? Come on. Lastly, I want to thank all the Mexican players who probably don't speak English. You can hit a ball over the wall at Wrigley Field. But you'll never get over the wall. I'm putting it on the border, so you'll never see your families again. Too bad. So sad. So thanks for coming, Cubbies. I'm going to have my very good friend, the Vice President, Mike Spencer, give you a huge, tremendous, very classy tour. And I've told my super hot and sexy wife, Melania, to pick one of you guys out for a quickie in the Lincoln bedroom.
Oh.
I'm a great husband, and she was mad about a very important business trip I took to Moscow. So I told her I'd get her something. So on behalf of Vladimir and me, congratulations to the Chicago Cubs, world champions just like me, not lightweights, winners. Winners like Trump. Now I have to go tweet Wolf Blitzer. What a huge loser. That's the speech he would have given.
Would you?
There you go. And we would have walked off to
that. I was going to say, would you have taken questions?
I don't think you take questions after a speech like this. You just give it room to breathe.
Of course. I'm sorry. Look who I'm asking. I don't think you're going to take questions ever.
No.
Ever again.
No. No, can't take questions. You know why? Questions are under audit.
You won't answer them.
Yeah. That's Trump's speech that he would have given had he actually had the opportunity. You know, he may next year, right?
Absolutely.
Hold the speech, Donnie. May still come in handy. I came around completely on Lady Gaga back in the days of the meat dress. I was thinking, hey, come on. And then she did the Tony Bennett duet. And I heard that voice when she sang a couple of ballads, not just the cheap pop stuff. She's unbelievable.
She's awesome, and I've seen her in concert. She just plays the grand piano on stage, no background or anything. She's fantastic.
The talent is incredible.
What a voice.
Yeah, that voice is just absolutely amazing. Anyway, she's going to do halftime at the Super Bowl, which I don't know that has been widely discussed, but she has an interesting plan. You know, what can you do at the Super Bowl halftime show that hasn't already been done? You know, Prince in the Rain, The Stones, Still Alive. These are all things that were remarkable. How about Lady Gaga singing on the roof of the Super Bowl in Houston?
Oh, that'd be cool.
On the roof.
It's aggressive.
Of the Super Bowl.
That is aggressive.
Lawyers and technicians are trying to figure out how to make it work. Gaga has this elaborate, frankly dangerous deal where she wants to sing at the top of NRG Stadium's dome in Houston. The team is a little worried about technical and safety issues. She's pushing to do it and really almost on the verge of demanding it, though I'm sure she'd still perform. Right now they're trying to write up multiple plans about how to safely get her on the roof, get her off the roof, and also get her on stage and off stage all within that window of, Carmen, is it 18 minutes? Is that the halftime of the Super Bowl?
I wanted to say 13. Let me hang on, Steve. Let me double check.
The regular, I think, is 12 or 13. I think they added like a five-minute thing on the Super Bowl.
It's a quick change.
The stadium has a state-of-the-art see-through retractable fabric roof that can open in 7 minutes. You can't wait 7 minutes. Mm-mm. Now, you could have it open and drop her through the hole.
Like Pink. Remember how Pink would come down with the...
On the zip line?
Yeah, on the zip line.
Yeah.
Because she'll probably end up on the field at some point.
She has to, right? Yeah, she has to. A source close to the project says Gaga's nuts. No, says Gaga is hoping to do the stunt live during her halftime show, but they're not sure they can pull it off. Trying to figure out insurance for it is nuts. I tell you, it would put a damper on the second half if she somehow hurts herself, singing Poker Face.
Performance itself takes 13 to 14 minutes, but halftime can last 30 to 35 minutes.
And cool. It's getting the, because literally, the halftime, players run off the field, they roll a mobile stage on the field, they have all those people come on, as the dancers and the public, they got to get the lights, the lasers, everything set, and she would theoretically approach from the roof.
That's what you do.
Right, she'd start on the roof and drop in.
It's always the best part of the game. I love halftime.
I do too.
Get Madonna.
It's fun.
It's great, but it's not the best part of the game if it's a good game.
It's entertaining, though.
Is anybody with her, performing with her?
Well, she'll have a cast of thousands. You mean like the
some
special
guest appearance, like if Tony drops in?
Tony at 90, they throw him through the hole in the roof. You remember the Queen at the Olympics? Remember when the Queen and Daniel Craig dropped in?
I thought that was the Oscars. You're right. That was the Olympics.
Daniel Craig went to the palace, picked up the Queen and the corgis, and then dropped them in.
Oh, that's
and then
right.
They parachuted,
So I think it's a cool idea, and she wants to do it, and she pulls off. I mean, look, the woman wore a meat suit. If anybody can pull it off, she can pull it off, right?
I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there was an appearance by a Tony Bennett already on the stage.
How about they put him? How about this? Okay, if you're going to do the roof thing, how about Tony Bennett plays the second quarter, and then he takes off a helmet, and then he sings? Huh?
I like it.
Tony Bennett could do it. That's your Lady Gaga halftime update. Favorite Super Bowl halftime show of all time? I got to go with Prince.
Oh, I love Prince.
Prince in the Rain.
For sure.
I didn't like Coldplay last year. I thought that was so Coldplay, cheesy. I liked Beyonce.
Yeah.
Janet Jackson, Wardrobe
Janet
Malfunction.
Jackson.
Madonna.
Katy Perry did a great job.
Yeah, she had the...
She had all the dancers singing in her cleavage, or dancing in her cleavage.
She had sparklers on them.
I thought it was cool where the dancers, she had over 500 dancers in her cleavage that would climb out and then jump on the stage.
It was a quick way to get them off the field.
Equally dangerous.
She was on the hoverboard, right? That was the Katy Perry.
I didn't notice the hoverboard so much.
Remember she had the dancing the dancing dolphins behind her, yeah. And the one was out of sync?
It was a shark.
Oh, yeah, shark.
I think it was a shark. Yeah.
Was it a shark?
Left shark.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was
left
out of
shark
sync.
Was, that became a thing for a
while. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Remember Slim Whitman yodeling? Those are the early ones. I think it was Super Bowl III.
Did Ennett cover those?
The first and second Super Bowls, the two that the Packers won, they literally had like the college marching band thing. They had the college marching band thing. And then I think it was Super Bowl V, maybe, the Colts and the Dolphins. Is that the Colts and the Dolphins? No, Colts and the Cowboys. Colts and the Cowboys. Colts and the Cowboys, Super Bowl V, won by Jim O'Brien with a field goal, 16-13. How about that? Huh?
That's a good memory.
Not just a pretty fist.
Out of nowhere.
I think they had Up With People.
No, did
yeah.
they really?
Yeah, yeah. And then Up With People came back three or four more times.
So. During the game? Or
No, in other Super Bowls. Yeah, until they started going with these big star things. So anyway, Lady Gaga, roof of the Super Bowl. Just so you know.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:11, Steve Cochran Show continues. This is show number 820. You know, on New Year's Eve, when I was semi-comatose from the bronchitis and all the funk, I took some questions from people. I don't remember what show. It was probably the second show. I didn't do it at the first show, did I?
You took a few questions at the first show, too.
I did? Yeah,
yes.
Barely remember the show.
Because remember, one of the first questions was, it was a...
It was more of a statement. Are you thinking what
yeah,
I'm thinking?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A woman goes, stop counting your shows.
Yes.
Anybody want to chime in? Stop. Why do you... Stop it. Stop it.
And then someone asked a question and the whole audience went, Blue Thunder.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, yeah, you took a few.
But the reason I count the shows is because I started counting the shows. I have no idea. I really don't.
It just keeps a tally.
Well, it keeps a tally. And like in 180 shows, when we get to show 1,000, we'll know when to throw the parade.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hire the marching band.
Makes sense to me. We have some amazing numbers, specifically a statistic. Dr. Brian Chicoine is here, and Doc, start by explaining who you're with and your title and all that.
Sure. I'm the medical director of the Advocate Adult Down Syndrome Center in Park Ridge at Lutheran General Hospital.
And have you always specialized?
For the last 25 years.
25 years ago, the life expectancy for an adult Downs patient was what?
About 30.
What is it now?
About 60.
That is incredible. I mean, I don't know of any other time in my life. I'm 55 years old. I don't know of any other time in my life where I've heard a statistic where we've doubled the life expectancy on a condition. Is there anything that comes to mind?
I cannot think of another physician that's been fortunate enough to, in his career, been able to participate in the care of a population that's life expectancy doubled.
I mean, that's just incredible good news. All right, so explain. Is there a main contributing factor for that to happen?
The biggest one certainly is the ability to treat congenital heart disease in children with Down syndrome. About 50% of kids with Down syndrome are born with congenital heart disease, and a significant number of them died in childhood up until the 70s and 80s. And now that they're able to live much longer, now we're looking at ways that we can keep them healthier as they reach adulthood.
So those that would pass by the time they're 30 were dealing with the complications of the congenital heart disease that couldn't have been operated on when they were kids?
Correct.
That is huge. But there must be other reasons, too, right? Is it a communications thing as well?
I think certainly the ability to treat infectious disease has been a big issue. I think moving people out of large state facilities, I think, has been a huge issue in moving people into the community. And I think the ability to provide for their health care needs as they get into adulthood has been huge as well.
Right.
Do activities have a lot to do with that, too? My friend's son has Down syndrome. He's, I believe, about 20 years old now. And she said she keeps them on a routine, but they do a lot of activities. Like they walk together every Friday. They go to the movies. I mean, there's all these activities that they constantly do and have this routine.
Well, like everybody, right?
Yeah.
Active mind.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the ability to for all of us, the ability to participate in our own health promotion is huge. If you can't participate in your own health promotion, you're not going to be as healthy. And for a long time, that was not even a consideration for people with Down syndrome. And now that's a huge difference in the last generation or so.
Advocate Medical Group's Adult Down Syndrome Center is celebrating its 25th anniversary. You've been a leader nationwide on this. Have other hospitals recognized what's going on, and are they doing some of the same things?
There's a handful that are doing similar work. It's we're trying to really certainly provide training for residents and students, because that's one of the real deficits, is that there's not a lot of physicians that have training in this. And then certainly the financial issues. We've been very fortunate that Advocate has been very supportive, as well as our generous philanthropy that a variety of people provide us to help us keep going.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because a lot of people, I think, get confused about why hospitals raise money for a foundation. Partly it's because everybody can't pay, and you can take care of people who come in, because hospitals don't turn people away, and you can pay bills that way. Secondarily, maybe there's equipment you need, but also really important programs like this need to be funded, right?
Correct. Only really about a third of our cost is covered by what we get returned for a billing, and the other two-thirds is covered by Advocate and by people that are generous to us.
AdvocateGiving.com, by the way, in this case, and I suppose you can follow the links there when you go there.
So most of the patients are on Medicaid and Medicare. So how will the repeal or the replacement of Obamacare affect the patients?
You know, that's a real good question. I don't know that I have the answer to that, and we're watching closely.
Okay.
Since you're one of the busiest facilities in the country that specifically does all this great work with adult Downs patients, are people around the country bringing folks in?
Yeah, we really don't see people outside of Illinois, just because it's the numbers and the volume, and we really are trying to promote good local care. So we're doing a lot of things to train and to provide information to physicians locally in their area, so that they can give the same quality of care in their own area.
What do you wish folks knew about Down syndrome patients?
You know, I think first off that I think the first lesson I learned is respect for them, and I think that's a huge thing. And I think that they're
Having a special needs brother, when you grow up with it, you develop it, you know, I think internally, and you're more sensitive to it, obviously. But don't you think we live in a time now where people are better at it than they've ever been?
I think they are, but I think life gets busy and people can forget that. And I think we need to keep that in the forefront.
For sure.
I think we need to continue to encourage people with Down syndrome to participate in their own health. And so I think that's the other real important thing, that we can all share that together.
I want to come back, talk more, and I know Andrea has some more questions as well. It's AdvocateGiving.com. Check this out. Just an incredible statistic to double the life expectancy of a particular patient group in a generation. So short of a miracle.
I can't think of any other
situation. There's no other term that applies.
Yeah, correct.
It's all goosebumps, man. Seven, and nice work by you and all of your people. Dr. Brian Chicoine's here, Medical Director, Advocate Medical Group's Adult Down Syndrome Center. There's a great quote, which I don't want to mess up here, but I know it's something that, Doctor, you truly believe, that you're not proud of the work you've done. You're blessed to be able to do the work. And that's not necessarily an epiphany. That comes with time, I suppose, right?
Yeah, it's a group that touches your heart, and you learn a lot from, and you just realize that it's definitely a two-way street.
The only limitations that special needs people have are limitations that are put on them by society or people that love them and try to care for them and maybe protect them a little too much. There's another story that came out of some of the notes before we talked to you, that one of the patients wanted to run a 5K. What's the punchline to that story?
I asked him if I could run it with him, and I say that he basically saved my life, because I was getting overweight and high blood pressure, and I started running a lot after running that 5K with him. So it was definitely him taking care of me as much as me taking care of him.
And are you both marathoners now, or is it just him? Did he leave you in the dust?
He left me in the dust.
He at least waved goodbye to you? Yeah. Later.
Thanks, Doc.
No, as Rocky theme song played, I was chasing behind
you. I don't doubt it, yeah. Andre.
Well, we were talking off the air, too. I mean, the stats that we've been giving out, the life expectancy rising from 25 in the early 80s to 60 today. We were talking off the air a little bit about the genetics. Explain a little bit about that. You know, if someone has a child with Down syndrome, if they have another child, if there could be that predisposition already there.
Yeah, there's a little higher risk of having another child with Down syndrome in families that have a child with Down syndrome, but it's not huge.
Let's talk about training. Is the money there? I know advocates support you, but is the money there around the country and at other hospitals to train caregivers to know how to do the right thing here?
There really is not at this point, and that's one of our part of our mission at this point is to really to try to provide educational materials that residents and students can use across the country.
How about the research money?
That lags behind as well, certainly federally, and we've been fortunate to have some generous families that have supported us, and we're trying to expand that as well.
Let me ask you a layman's dopey question if I can. With a condition that we've known about for a long time where people achieve a quality of life and a success story like you're having, does that hurt research dollars because people go, oh, you're doing pretty good?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I suppose that could be a negative, sure.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah.
Well, I'm sure you're glad I brought it up. in the meantime, we want to remind you again, it's advocategiving.com. There's so many good pieces to this story. Again, I'm just stunned by the fact that you've been able to achieve double plus the life expectancy here. What about job opportunities for adults with Down syndrome? One of the places I think that we ought to give a high five to is Jewel Osco. Jewel Osco does a great job with hiring.
Yes, they do.
They really do. Jewel is really a fine employer. There's just unfortunately not enough opportunities as the high school programs have gotten better. People leave high school and the opportunities post high school are really pale in comparison. So I think we're really lagging behind in the job market, and that has a huge impact on people's health. Sitting around at home and not having things to do is really negatively impacting.
Well, self-worth, self-esteem.
Absolutely.
You know, temperament, all of that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Goodwill, Salvation Army, I know, too, around the holidays as well, were very giving their opportunities, too,
yeah,
which was great.
And our patients are our patients are great employees. They do a good job. They're fastidious. They do it well. If you teach them, they do it well, and they stick with it.
Yeah, and everybody I've encountered, and again, go back to the Jewel Osco example, always upbeat, you know? I got some cashier, going click, 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 and the kid at the end of the aisle couldn't be happier to see me.
And greet you and always make sure your eggs are on the top.
Right, that's exactly right.
And saying, why are you buying cookies? You don't need those. Come on, man.
Put the cookies back, Steve. There's an important note that comes out of all of this, which is really a lesson for all of us, and you spoke to it earlier. I would like to think that if you're a allegedly healthy adult, that you have the sensibilities to slow your life down enough to appreciate those who might need a little extra recognition in whatever way that comes up. But you kind of got a mantra that I want to make sure people hear. It's I don't want people to be an afterthought. Because they were an afterthought for too long. They're a person first and a person with Down syndrome second.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. One of my goals is to bring our patients to the forefront of medical advances. I want them to, there's no reason they should not be in a leadership role and not sort of something that gets tagged on afterwards.
Yeah, we know with an umbrella term like autism, there are different levels of function. Is that true for Down's patients?
There is. That's correct.
And those who have a lower level of function, what are you able to do for them medically?
You know, there's still a lot of things. I mean, I think all this, all the things that benefit others benefit the folks in a wide variety of spectrum, and we just got to include them and figure out ways that we can include them in some of those health-promoting things.
So what do you want to say to parents who maybe have a child that was recently diagnosed to give them the hope going forward that their child's going to be able to maximize their life?
In 25 years, every day I hear something new that a patient is doing that I had not heard before.
Sure.
And that slope is going up dramatically. Was sort of a slow rise 25 years ago, but it is really going up dramatically. And the world is changing dramatically So for people with Down syndrome. So it's a very exciting time.
And for potential employers who have and by the way, through no fault of their own, have cliched or stereotypical ideas about what they might be taking on in hiring a Downs patient. What do you want them to know?
I say that if the rest of us had the same work ethic, the national product would double.
Believe me, I don't doubt it at all. Yeah. My experience has been the same. We were talking off the air about this, and this is a big piece of the story, too. A lot of the care for adult special needs folks goes to people that are getting older. And as we age into an elderly population that lives longer but is not physically able to take care of folks, what are we doing?
Well, we need to do more. This is one of the first generations that really is going to outlive their parents to a great degree,
right?
Patients with Down syndrome. So we're going to have to continue to really look at what are the ways that we can help them age well.
I couldn't be more thrilled for you. I mean, I hope you go to work every day and take a second to pat yourself on the back, because you and your team are obviously doing amazing things. And, you know, so many times we hear medical news that's hopeful, but it's down the road, or we hear medical news that maybe is really scary. To get the piece of news like this, of just an amazing statistic to double plus the life expectancy of a particular patient class, it's unbelievable.
It is. It really is amazing. I joke that I'm sure there'll be a boring day. It just hasn't happened yet.
Good for you, man. Good for you. Dr. Brian Chicoine, Medical Director, Advocate Medical Group, Adult Down Syndrome Center. If life's been good to you, if you go to cocktail parties and go, you know, we're doing very well, I hope you'll consider going to advocategiving.com and helping this program out. Good for you, Doc. You're always welcome here.
Thank you very much.
728, back with a big story coming up on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Do you think Donald Trump will be a legitimate president?
Well, I think he's going to be inaugurated this week. I have great concerns, and apparently Republicans do as well. And there's going to be an investigation about the role that Russian hacking played in getting him elected. Do I think Russians supported him? Do I think they tried to get him elected? Do I think I worked against Clinton? I do. And that is something that has to be investigated.
Does that make him illegitimate?
Right now, what my job is, pardon me?
Does that
Those are just words.
George, I have no time to talk to you. I want my soup. Where's my soup? This whole, this legitimate, illegitimate question, just drop it. The man's going to be inaugurated on Friday. It's never, ever been about whether or not the election was legitimate. It's always been about the fact that a foreign power tapped into our election. The problem's Russia. The problem's not Trump being elected. Get over it. He's in. Which, by the way, reminds me, Michael Moore is a jackass, and Michael Moore is leading one of the protests, allegedly leading one of the protests on Friday, and he wants to disrupt the inauguration. To yeah. what end?
And Mark Ruffalo is hopping on that bandwagon,
yeah,
too.
To what end?
I don't get that either.
So you want to disrupt the inauguration? The man was elected. It is his honor, his turn, and it is a demonstration to the rest of the world, especially now with all the questions everybody has about him, to show the peaceful transition of power, which is the entire point of the inauguration. And you want to protest? I hope the protesters are all kept in their particular areas. There's something like 99 groups or something. You have a right to protest. But to just go on, we're going to disrupt the inauguration? For what? Why don't you go make another fake documentary?
It does no one any good at this point.
By the way, if you still want to go to the inauguration, plenty of room. And plenty of room at the parties, too. The Kentucky Bluegrass Ball is tomorrow. Thursday, we have the Black Tie and Boots Texas Party. We have the Garden State Inaugural Gala. I think that's where Chris Christie will be put in handcuffs. I think that's part of it there. The Inaugural Gala on Thursday night, too, is where the whoever actually ends up playing will play. And then on Friday, the Great American Inaugural Ball. You know, I feel badly for Trump, because you have to dance. And he's not a guy that's light on his feet. And he's not a guy that looks like he'd be comfortable dancing. You know what I mean? He doesn't have Steve Cochran, Bruno Mars-like moves.
You sure there's room, Steve? Because I'm reading on Twitter from the real Donald Trump that people are pouring into Washington in record numbers. Bikers for Trump are on their way. It'll be great Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I don't know if there's room.
Can he see Washington from New York? Because he's still in New York. He's being told they're pouring in?
Pouring in, Steve.
Okay. Well, I hope there is a big crowd.
He also says the same people who did phony election polls were so wrong and are now doing the approval rating polls.
Those are phony, too?
They are just rigged like before.
Mm.
And there are still ball gowns for those going,
yeah,
because there was an initial tweet by @TheRealDonaldTrump who said all the ball gowns in D.C. were gone.
Once again, to the president-elect, please tweet less.
Yes.
I'm not telling you not to tweet. He's got 20 million people following him on Twitter. He should use Twitter. You should use Twitter for good, not evil. But he should also stop being stupid.
Did you hear what
stop he said? Tweeting everything that comes to your mind.
Did you hear what he said yesterday? He's not going to use the POTUS Twitter. He'll have Kellyanne or the chief of staff send out official announcements. But he says he's keeping his Twitter handle, and he will continue to use @TheRealDonaldTrump to tweet.
That. I'm fine with that. I just would like him not to tweet anything the voices in his head start screaming. According to a copy to the 58th Presidential Inaugural Committee, if you're thinking, man, I should have gotten tickets, you can still get in. There's a $25,000 price point. There's a $100,000, $250,000, $500,000. For $1 million, you get tickets to a luncheon with cabinet appointees, congressional leadership, dinner with the vice president-elect and his wife, lunch with the first families, tickets to an elegant candlelight dinner featuring special appearances by Trump, Melania, Mike Pence, Karen Pence, and tickets to the parade, swearing-in, concert, and ball. Let me tell you something. For $1 million in the rain on Friday, I better get an ambassadorship of my choice.
Big time.
Probably would.
Yeah.
Figure something out for you, Steve.
And you got to give credit to two guys in a truck or whoever they have moving them out. You have 5 hours on Friday to get the Obamas out and the Trumps in. It's an amazing, highly choreographed thing, as you could imagine. There's a retired rear admiral who oversaw the transition previously. You know, the first family that's leaving, they get their goodbyes. And if you've ever done, and all of us have, the family goodbyes at Thanksgiving, I used to do a chunk about this on stage.
Yeah.
You know, you decide you're leaving, and then you stand up and you say goodbye, usually in the family room. And then as you're moving to the kitchen and people are putting on their shoes and their boots or wherever, you say goodbye again there. And then you move the goodbye outside in a pack. And, you know, if you could see an aerial view of it, it would look like little kids playing soccer, where they all get around the ball and you chase the ball. And then the entire pack of emotional goodbyes moves out to the car. And there's another goodbye there. And then finally people get in the car and they start to leave and you wave. Point being, of the 5 hours, I would guess 2.5 are the final goodbyes by the Obamas to the White House staff.
I think it probably will be just like that.
Right?
Yep.
Where Trump's coming in going, I need to put a box down somewhere.
At least it's just Trump moving in, not the Trumps.
Yeah,
like, and
maybe,
Melania won't
maybe that
her.
Saves some time. I don't know. But that's you got a lot of gold-plated and gold stuff to move. I'm just saying. And they can do anything they want to the private residence. It's their house. So anything they want to design it, to do anything with it. Remember, Trump's not going to take the $400,000 that the president normally gets paid. There's a certain budget to take care of your personal residence. But, you know, he's got the money to go ahead and I mean, if the audit goes well, he's got the money to go ahead and do whatever he wants to the private residence.
Is he going to leave the hoop court? That's all I really care about. Leave the basketball court, please.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm guessing golf will make a comeback. I mean,
maybe, you know, a putting green in the back.
Obama used to chip around a bit on the White House lawn.
I bet we see a lot of gold inside.
Yeah.
You know, like gold bathrooms, gold colors. Did you
gold
see
finger.
The one of the balls? It's the Deplorables presidential inaugural ball, promising entertainment all night long with three different bands.
The Deplorables Ball.
The Deplorables Inaugural Ball. That's Thursday night.
Are they making fun of Democrats or Republicans? Do we know?
They are making fun of Democrats.
Oh, okay. Well, there you
go.
The Clintons are going to be there. I don't know that they'll stay for any of the parties, but they will be there. The Bush 2s, George and Laura. Bush 1 is not up to traveling anymore, so he and Barbara will not be there. However, 91 or 2-year-old President Carter and Rosalynn will be there.
Wow.
So those are those planning to attend at this point. The weather on Friday looks awful in Washington, with heavy rain expected, and you cannot have an umbrella at the front viewing section, and allegedly on the parade route as well, because you can imagine what a Secret Service nightmare that is if everybody's got an umbrella. That's a huge security problem. So if you're planning on going, don't take the good umbrella because you're probably going to lose it.
Do you think they're going to have inauguration ponchos?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Suddenly, that's the market you need to corner.
Yeah. You know,
your inauguration rain slicker.
Ryan Burrow was there for the Cubs yesterday. He was sending back some pictures on the mall. They're already selling
tons of stuff, right?
Yeah, they're selling sweatshirts and hoodies and things like that. So we should have him pick up a rain slicker.
Yeah, well, if there's any left. And I wouldn't plan on getting a cab. It'll be raining heavy in D.C. Anyway, that's a little update on the inaugural news. And if you are a Bruce Springsteen cover band, there is an opening because the B Street Band quit yesterday. The Bruce Springsteen cover band that was scheduled to play. I think the Arm Fart guy's still in, though. Yeah, I think so.
Buy homes. That's 888-345-2894 or visit GrandviewHomes.com.
.753, couple of sports notes. Do you see who's going to play Tanya Harding in an upcoming movie about the Tanya Harding-Nancy Kerrigan thing?
I
Judith Light?
Margot Robbie, the super hot blonde chick.
Oh.
Is she going to gain a bunch of weight or something?
I don't know. Margot Robbie's pretty.
Yeah, I noticed.
Not that Tonya Harding's not.
What a nice person you are.
Margot Robbie as Tonya Harding. I don't know. That's quite an acting challenge. Not quite.
Australian actress was spotted on the set of her upcoming Tonya Harding biopic looking absolutely transformed, Steve.
Yeah. And not in a good way.
She's wearing a pair of high-waisted 90s jeans, a marbled blue sweater, and sporting a wildly curled blonde wig. Looks just like Sandberg, right?
I guess you could do it with
She's got the mom pants on.
I guess you could do it with padding.
I think that is padding.
It's got it.
It has to be, because Margot Robbie is thin and beautiful.
Yeah.
Not that Tonya Harding's not.
Wow, I think she looks like her, though.
I think the producers of the movie actually hired Margot Robbie because they're afraid they'll be attacked by Tonya Harding.
That might be.
They got somebody that maybe was a little closer in casting.
She even has the hair down, the crimped look, you know, that 80s crimped look.
It's still maybe the greatest moment / biggest controversy in Olympic history.
Well, that's saying a lot.
Why?
That's saying a lot. But
it's up there.
It's right up there.
I mean, yeah. Never to be forgotten.
To have a group of morons who decide in front of the entire world you're going to take out the number one competitor and not get caught.
Like, you really constructed that you're going to have, what was his name, Galooly?
Jeff Galooly.
Perfect name for that idiot.
Galooly's right. Going to come running in and he's going to whack her in the knee and you're going to win the gold.
Yeah.
That happened. That's amazing.
And then,
Nancy Kerrigan turned out to be a creep?
Yeah.
Remember, everybody felt badly for her and then she was overheard at Disney, like off mic, going, how long do I have to do this stupid thing?
Right.
Now there's Mickey Mouse. I hope he gets hit by a truck.
Then she messed up the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley.
But I have to admit, for years, whenever I've had a problem and I was confused, I'd just yell out, why? One other sports note, Bill Belichick. Hey, Carm, you've been in a million locker rooms. Jake, you have too. You know, there are coaches who play along, and certainly in interviews and sports talk radio, coaches that play along. And then there are people that don't. I've never seen anybody, including the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs, I've never seen anybody more difficult than Belichick, just for the sake of being difficult.
Yeah, why can't everybody be like Joe Madden? How hard is it?
Yeah.
Give me a nice Joe Madden. You don't have to tell anybody anything.
And you don't have to like the people that are asking the questions. They're just doing their jobs.
Right.
Jake, who was the worst person you ever had in studio for a sports talk interview, an athlete or a coach?
Ooh, in studio?
Or on the phone, I suppose.
Scottie Pippen was a beaut.
Scottie was tough?
Mm-hmm. He was a tough one.
Scottie's nicer now.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is probably one of the biggest jerks
I've met. Kareem's got nothing to say.
Yeah,
Scottie's nicer now because Skilling kind of, you know, warms it up.
Ever since they started vacationing.
Well, we had Scottie on Cap'n Hall one time to plug M&Ms. And he knew nothing about them and gave us one-word answers and then made fun of Cap, which was funny. But
right. He
was just, he couldn't be more rude. It was brutal.
So sort of a Gwen Stefani sort of thing?
Yeah, a little bit.
Bill Belichick was on WEEI in Boston. Who was he talking to, Carl?
He was talking to Dale and Holly, Steve.
This goes to the Antonio Brown Pittsburgh Steelers post-game live Facebook stream when the head coach of the Steelers, Mike Tomlin, said, stay off social media, let's lay low. And Antonio Brown was basically in the background on Facebook Live making fun of his coach, right?
He was just showing the video like, hey, keep it quiet, keep a low profile. Oh, yep. Actually, now he's broadcasting this to, at the time, or yesterday, it was viewed by a million people. I'm sure it's way more today.
Here's what Belichick had to say on WEEI in Boston.
There's a video that's made the rounds where Antonio Brown had a Facebook Live video and along the way, he caught up some comments from Mike Tomlin where he refers to your team affectionately as, say, for radio purposes, jerks. Any thoughts on the video or on the comments?
Yeah. Well, as you know, I'm not on Snapface and all that, so I don't really get those. But I'm really just worried about getting our team ready to go. I'm not really too worried about what they put on Instant Chat or whatever it is.
Now, does your team have any kind of guidelines as far as in the locker room
even
social media is concerned? I know you specifically don't have a lot of experience with it, but a lot of your players, of course, are on these different things. Is that something that's mapped out for them?
Yeah, we're really focused on trying to play well and win this week in the AFC Championship game. That's really what it's about.
I mean, is that even a real person?
How brutal does that have to be for this poor guy in Boston that's got to talk to him every week face to face?
Well,
I mean, you would think it's a home team. It's the home team. It's the play-by-play station. It's the flagship. He can't even play along with those guys.
Well, it's weird.
I'm not on Snapface or the Insta chat. I'm not on Facefoot.
Well, as you know, I'm not on Snapface and all that, so I don't really get those.
Yeah.
It's a
I'm
thing.
Not on Twitter or Hitter or Bitter. I am on Bitter. Actually, I'm on a social media thing called Bitter.
Faced in.
Yeah.
It's hard to get it all the way through, but he's actually trying to be funny because this is a thing with him. Like, he's called my face, your face, and instant face. And
oh, I don't think he's trying to be funny. I don't think he knows any of it. I think he's being Belichick.
I think he actually knows.
Because, you know, I'm not on the snap face. Are you on the snap face, Coach? Are you on the snap face?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Kiss me, kiss me,
8:11, Dean Richards live at, where are you working? Channel 9?
It says WGN-TV.
Yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour, Paul Conrad was scheduled to appear and he stiffed us.
Uh-oh.
And he texted me this morning almost 24 hours later apologizing, but said he's ready now.
Right at this moment?
Yeah.
Because he's on the air right now.
Yeah, I told him this is not a good time.
That sounded like patronizing you.
Yes. You know what it was? It was patronizing me.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what we haven't done in a long time? Our regular Ask Dean segment. I have Mark Carmen and Andrea Darlis in studio. So once we take care of the very important show business news.
Lovely.
We'd like to open up questions for Ask Dean. Andrea will have a question. Carms will have a question. And we'll have one listener question. It can be about anything, entertainment. It could be about anything at all.
It could be about anything.
The more personal and uncomfortable, the better.
Right.
Yep. That's what I'm saying.
That's when I pull a Paul Conrad and suddenly our connection gets severed.
What? Can't hear you. We've got Robin Thicke news. We've got Bruce Springsteen cover band news. We've got...
You mean the most famous cover band in the world now?
The B Street Band. Mariah Carey and Elton John news. We have Russian hacking news that has nothing to do with Trump. Lady Gaga Super Bowl halftime show, which could be spectacular, and Dean's first wife, Betty White,
That's right. That's right.
As well. Why don't we start with Betty White? Because I think it all started in that long weekend in Encino.
It did. Very innocently, I was just getting a drink in the kind of, really kind of depressing hotel bar. The other end of the bar, there is Rose from Golden Girls.
Who undressing you with her eyes.
That's right. With her cataracts. She's 95 years old today.
God bless her.
Born in Oak Park, Illinois.
Still hot, too.
She is steaming hot.
She is a smoke show.
Wait,
Carmi, you look like you're having an attack.
I mean, I thought Rose was 95 20 years ago. This is amazing.
Have you looked at Betty White? She looks fabulous. What's wrong with you?
That's amazing to me.
Are you into the
You thought she was
Carmi?
Older?
I'm amazed at how many younger people are into the show.
Oh, Carm saw every show.
Been off the air for like 30 years.
Is Estelle Getty still alive?
No.
Betty's the only one still alive.
Yeah, she killed the other three. It's true. I love Betty White like you do, but I have not had the opportunity to sleep with her as you have. So when you and Betty White are together, it's just a joy because
delightful.
You just like each other so darn much.
That is really, really, really the truth. Sweetheart, we talked with her a couple of years ago. She works with this equine group, this organization.
That's horses, Carm.
That's horses that they do therapy for people with a variety of illnesses. That, you know, it's like the therapeutic benefit of being with dogs or cats.
Right.
Turns out that's also the case with horses. And Betty's been in town supporting this one particular organization several times. And the last time that she was here, we sat and talked with her. And I wondered, you know, with a career like hers, 70 years in show business, amazing. If she had, you know, certain projects with which that were her favorites. And here's what she said.
Working with
the Golden Girls group, working with the Mary Tyler Moore group, and now with the Hot in Cleveland group, I've lucked into another company of cast members that it's, how can one person get that lucky consistently? And don't, I don't know the answer, but I sure do taste it.
I think I know a little of the answer. I mean, I think it's your incredible talent.
No. And you're... that's an iffy.
Come on. I mean, you're amazing.
I'm again, the luckiest old broad on 2 feet.
She's the best, man.
Love that with her.
She's the best.
A couple of years ago, she did that movie, The Proposal, with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
And Ryan Reynolds was in town not long ago. And it may have been last year, right before Betty's 94th birthday. And we asked Ryan for a couple of words about his friend Betty White. Any messages for Betty? Anything you would like to say?
Well, I love her and adore her. And I think, you know, she'll attest that she can sure take a punch.
Get me a cup of coffee.
No, my name's Ryan. We've been working together for weeks. Months, actually. Months now.
Dan, you've been a terrible assistant that whole time.
It's because I'm not an assistant, Betty. I play an assistant in the movie, and I'm an actor in real life. And you should know
when
that.
When Betty White says she wants a cup of coffee, you get her a cup of coffee. You ab-crunching jackass.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Did she say ab-crunching?
Jackass.
Ab-crunching jackass.
Oh, she's awesome. The best, man.
Right?
She's just the best.
That's right. She's my wife.
Crazy good. All right, we'll come back and talk about lesser show business people in a second. And then our famous Ask Dean segment. If you have a question about anything that you'd like to ask Dean, text it or call it 312-981-7200 now.
You ab-crunching jackass.
You'll be calling his name.
Such a great, great Dean clip.
She's the best, man. All right, let's go through some grimy show business news from lesser-known stars.
Yes.
What's Robin Thicke's issue?
Robin Thicke has been accused of child abuse.
Well, that's ugly.
Yeah, by his ex-wife, actress Paula Patton.
I love her, too.
Says that he...
She's a young Betty White.
She in 90 years, she'll be just as hot. She says that he, Robin Thicke... abusing their six-year-old son, Julian. But a school counselor has also stated in court papers that Julian told the school counselor, quote, that his dad punches him so hard, but never where anyone can see.
What?
Robin Thicke is adamantly denying all of these allegations. Went to therapy. Julian, Paula Patton, Robin Thicke all went to therapy together over the weekend, if that means anything. But the LA DCFS is investigating.
Good.
Not a nice story.
Good. What a mess. There's an opening for a Bruce Springsteen cover. Well, any cover band for the Trump inauguration. What happened there?
Yeah, there's plenty of room, apparently. Yesterday, we gave you the list of who's going to be performing at the pre-inaugural concert, the Welcome Home concert at the Lincoln Memorial. Among them were a Bruce Springsteen cover band called the B Street Band. Yesterday, the B Street Band withdrew from appearing at the show. They were they signed a contract, but they say that they'll pay whatever the penalty is for this because they want to be respectful to Bruce. Apparently, they did not know that he has been a very staunch supporter of Hillary Clinton.
Get the internet. How hard is that to figure out?
Pretty much in the news every single day.
Yeah, for the last 2 years.
During the campaign. They also said that they got thousands of emails from people over the weekend. I suspect that it's that pressure. Plus, somebody asked Steve Van Zandt, who is in the real Bruce Springsteen E Street Band, what his comment was on the cover band playing, and he said of them, nice guys, met them. I wouldn't say right or wrong. It's up to them, but it's naive to think that one can separate art and politics. Art is politics, he says. So
pretty deep from Little Steven.
Well, you know, sometimes that babushka isn't wrapped too tight, and he comes up with a cogent thought.
Tell you. Russians hacking BBC shows?
The big finale of Sherlock with Benedict Cumberbatch was about to take place.
By the way, my Benedict Cumberbatch is clearing up. I got a salve for it.
I knew that would work.
Yeah, because a lot of people will ignore their Benedict Cumberbatch until it turns into something serious.
You do not want a scratchy Benedict nor Cumberbatch. Yeah. The Cumberbatch is actually more painful than the Benedict, as it
you're telling me.
As it turns out.
And by the way, if you had Benedict Cumberbatch as a child, you're more likely to get it as an adult, which is why you need the vaccine.
It's a virus that never goes away.
Yeah.
So the Sherlock, the BBC series Sherlock, was supposed to have its, I think, season finale this past Saturday night. It turns out that it was broadcast on a Russian state broadcast station about 2 hours before the BBC had a chance to do it. The BBC is saying that they feel that there is interference from the Kremlin. I know that's hard to believe.
You see Putin sitting around going, now that we have Trump, I want the final episode of Sherlock.
Get to me final episode of Sherlock Holmes, comrade.
That's unbelievable.
They're saying that there was some past business disagreements between the Kremlin and the BBC. That's what the speculation is that's why it's happened. What in the world is going on this planet of ours right now?
Mariah Carey and Elton John are performing for a Russian billionaire.
Yeah, they did. I think it was over the weekend. There is a Russian billionaire because, you know, Russians are so trendy now.
Mm-hmm.
His granddaughter got married. So, you know, a lot of people might hire a DJ or a Bruce Springsteen cover band, you know, something like that. This billionaire hired Mariah Carey and Elton John. They both performed full sets of songs.
Well, Mariah Carey didn't. Her sound didn't work.
This was actually a case where the sound did work, or several people might have been murdered.
Yeah, yeah.
So apparently it did work quite well. And the price tag for each one, $4 million each.
Well, I want to let any Russian oligarchs know, if you're a Russian billionaire of any kind, I will come to Russia and perform for $12.50.
Yeah. Oh, that's a bargain.
Yeah, just saying. You don't need to pay me $1 million. I come a little cheaper.
I don't want to undercut you, but I do know a Steve Cochran cover band who will do it for $10.99. It's a little cheaper.
The Steve Bachran band?
Yeah, that's him. That's them. And Lady Gaga wants to do what at the Super Bowl?
She's going to be appearing doing the Super Bowl halftime show on February 5th. She says that she wants to do the show from the roof of the domed stadium.
I love it.
In Houston. Which
Let
is,
her do it.
Which is quite high. It's a fabric, a retractable fabric roof.
It's made of meat.
What they would have to do is airlift her onto the top of this roof.
Yep.
Cut a hole in the retractable roof, and then it's not clear if she's going to do the whole show on the roof or start on the roof.
Nah, they got to start on the roof and bring her down. They're going to drop Tony Bennett through that hole, too.
And Betty White says she wants some of that action, and she's not talking about the show, by the way.
All right, let's go to question time for Dean. Andrea.
All right, Dean, I love your interviews. Of course, you do them so well. Who was your most challenging, it's my nice way of saying rudest, celebrity interview of 2016?
Oh, of 2016.
I know, I narrowed it down.
Wow, that's only been a few days.
Uh-huh.
Have we had any, like, super rude?
2016.
No, 2016. Last year.
Last year.
Yeah.
This will be 2017.
Yeah.
This is 2017.
Sandberg producing.
Who was the
Dean
rudest?
Doesn't know the date.
Who was the rudest person last year? I didn't talk to Tommy Lee Jones. I didn't talk to Meg Ryan. Oddly, I did talk to Mel Gibson, and it was quite delightful. I don't think I've had like a super rude encounter.
In a bizarre 2016, Dean had a year without celebrity asses.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I can't think of it.
Bunch of A-listers. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Carmen.
I've had quite a few comments, by the way. I'm not saying he was rude, but we've had quite a few comments on the Wayne Brady interview that we had on your show.
I already was not pleasant
on. On Friday. He was a little defensive.
Yeah, I heard he was
unpleasant. I was trying to compliment his gams.
Yeah.
Because he appeared in kinky boots in drag. I was trying to compliment him, and he misunderstood
In the words of Sergeant In the words of Sergeant Hulka from Stripes, lighten up, Francis.
Right.
Yeah.
No, Carm, you have a question? Complimentary of Wayne Brady.
Yeah, Dean, I got a two-parter, actually. Number one, I'm curious, or if some are curious, if you've ever been propositioned by any of your celebrities. And number two, I'm really excited for Girls, Dean. The final season.
Oh, Christ, on a bicycle. I can't believe you watch that show.
Can you just tell me the greatest thing that I can look forward to, and it's maybe something cool about
Lena Dunham getting out of show business?
I'm going to take the second question first. I don't know any preview stuff about the TV show Girls.
It's the only time I ever hope my cable goes out.
So excited.
Not a fan.
It's the only time that I'm sorry that I got HBO.
You guys are missing out.
Have I ever been propositioned by a star?
Yeah, I just think which ones haven't propositioned you, including Tommy Lee Jones.
I'll just say, I'm not going to say who it is, because that would be inappropriate, but I will say that I interviewed an extremely well-known celebrity, went for the handshake, he goes in for the man hug, and hugs me a little longer, really, than a person ought to.
A full grip and grab?
It's a full grip and grab, and, like, you know, one hand, it's not just like a hug.
Like a little reach around, a little
one
butt tweak.
One hand is sort of in the small of my back.
Yes.
Ooh. And kind of, like, moving up and down.
Did he make this noise in your ear?
No, it was more...
Oh, okay.
Morgan Freeman.
Yes, it was Morgan Freeman.
I will not reveal who this is.
Sandberg, you have a question for Dean.
It was pretty awkward.
Who's your favorite radio producer?
That would be Mary. Do I pick Mary or do I pick my own? Well, I'm in the middle of producers now, so I think this may be the one week that I don't really have. My old producer, Bennett Wakenight, who's going to be taking over on the opening bell, if he hasn't already.
Yeah.
Fantastic producer.
He's here as well. He can overhear it. So can Mike Jacobson.
It was also...
What producers do you have today?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have quite a few producers there today.
Well, it's a big show.
My new producer, Joey Gelman, I've only worked with him once, so he has...
Joey Gelman sounds like a neighbor on Friends.
He's good.
Gelman's
good.
Incredible.
He filled in when you were off. He's good.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the listener questions.
So I'm going to say Sandberg, because she could crush me.
Like, yeah, she's like, the meanest. There's no question
about
it.
Like an old cigarette, so I'm going to say Sandberg.
Question for Dean. Will golden showers bring back Jennifer Flowers? It's from a listener. I'm not making it up.
I don't know what that means, but I'm going to say yes.
Question for Dean. Heard a Robin knocks back a pack of smokes and a couple PBRs before the show. True?
No, if only that it stopped there.
Question for Dean. Cocoa Pebbles or Cocoa Puffs?
Oh, Cocoa Pebbles.
Let's see. Question for Dean. Boxers or Ronda Rousey?
I don't understand that.
And Dean, who is your celebrity crush? I think we sort of covered that.
Halle Berry, Betty White.
Oh, question for me. Steve, do you ever shut up and not interrupt someone else when they're speaking? No. The answer to that is no.
That's a ridiculous question.
Yeah, a terrible question. All right, Dean, I think this went really well.
This was delightful today.
Yes, you've angered the producers. You didn't answer the Jennifer Flowers question. I think it was a big one for all of us.
Mary's pretty happy back here. She's gloating.
Just one, Betty, if you're listening, see you today in our special place.
I'm driving by the Sybaris out in Downers Grove.
To see my car out there.
I was driving by the Sybaris out in Downers Grove, and Betty White and Dean are walking, and all they're wearing is funny hats.
During that interview, you could cut the sexual tension with a butter knife.
Yeah, there's no question.
You ab-crunching jackass.
You go by the love suite at the Sybaris today. If you listen carefully at the door, you'll hear, "Thank you for being a friend." That's me singing.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah.
It's cute, too, and Betty tells Dean not to break a hip on the water slide. all right, I'll see you later.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I've been there. I know I've been there. I can take myself back instantaneously to that valley. And yet, as I look at myself, I really wonder, I sometimes wonder, why me?
Eugene Cernan died yesterday, the last man to walk on the moon. You know, and it's the second time I mentioned this today. I'm 55. I grew up with astronaut heroes. And I think the modern generation of kids are getting gypped, not understanding these heroes that go into space. And we're certainly missing out by not having an active space program and having to hitch a ride with the Russians. We can talk about all of it with a guy who knows more about it than I'll ever know, Homer Hickam. The great Homer Hickam author of Rocket Boys, tons of other books, HomerHickam.com, H-I-C-K-A-M, by the way, and a NASA engineer for a period of time in his life. And Rocket Boys, you may remember, turned into a movie called October Sky. And he knew Gene Cernan back in the day, so happy to welcome him on the program. Good morning, Mr. Hickam.
Well, good morning, Steve. Good to be with you this morning, although it's a sad occasion, losing a great American hero like Gene Cernan, and he absolutely was a hero. It is a sad day for all of us. You know, I've noticed in the national news there's not been much about losing the last man to walk on the moon. By the way, he hated that, being called that, even though he named his book Last Man Walked on the Moon, because he felt like that we should have had lots of men and women on the moon since 1972. So it was a great disappointment to Gene that it's worked out the way it has, but he had hope for the future, and so do I. I think we will go back, and next time we'll stay.
You think about the scientific advancements that came from the space program in medical science, in cellular technology, in computer technology. Without the space program, who knows how far behind we are on all of it?
Well, I mean, we're communicating right now. I've got an iPhone to my ear, and all that came out of the space program. I've got a computer sitting in front of me. I've got every summer I go out to Montana, and I'm kind of an amateur paleontologist. I've got a GPS in my pocket, you know, that I'm carrying around. It's in communication with a satellite, several satellites above me. It's really amazing what has come out of the space program that we now take for granted and don't realize. When we go to the hospital, we're basically entering mission control that was produced by NASA back in the 60s. All of that stuff came out of that. And Chris Gene was I think one of the problems with astronauts today is there's too many of them. We don't know their names anymore. There were so many of them, and that's a good thing. But back then, back in the 60s and the 70s, there were not that many, and they were the hotshot guys. They were the pilots. They were the ones with the right stuff. I hate to use that term sometimes.
No, it's true.
Overdone, but they did. I mean, they really were. And Cernan, he's probably, you know, you talk about a steely-eyed missile man. I mean, when you sat down and talked with Gene, and he looked you dead in the eye, and everything that came out of his mouth was like, that's real. You know, what he's saying, it's no bull.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I was lucky enough to meet, and have been lucky enough to meet many of them, and know Captain Lovell fairly well, spent, you know, a good portion of the year here. And the term I would apply to all of them, the astronauts, is a confident modesty. These are real men who never need to tell you how great they were, never need to brag about what they did. They were confident, but they were humble and always gave credit to their teammates, gave credit to the millions of unsung folks all along the line that built the Apollo rockets and Gemini before that. Just an amazing group, and Cernan, the last of a breed. But I was struck, too, yesterday, Homer, with a story about how close he was to his dad, because he grew up, he's an 82-year-old man. He grew up in an era where fathers were, bring home the bacon, guys, speak when you're spoken to, and it sounds like his dad, all he did was support him.
Well, that's right. And so Gene and I had that in common, and I think we sensed that when we were together. I met Gene after I left NASA, mostly out on the book tour. We would intersect and get an opportunity. Well, he was out on book tour, I was out on book tour, and we'd meet each other. But, of course, Rocket Boys is ultimately a story of a father and a son. And a father came out of World War II and its depression, just as Gene's father did. So we had a lot of common in that way. And, back then, we expected to have our father at home, and our father was our role model, and our father was involved with our life. Well, we kind of dreaded when he was part of our life, because he was going to put the hammer down where you could get away with things with the mom sometimes. But for those of us who grew up with
parents who came out of the Depression and World War II. It was a, you know, a different childhood, and I think it made us better people from it. And but Gene, like I said, you know, I just when I saw it, when it came over the wire that he had passed, I went, oh no, you know, not Gene. I mean, he would just like steal to imagine that he has passed now. Is it leaves a little emptiness behind.
Did he speak to you about the guys that came before him, the original Right Stuff guys? Because it had to be something when he finally gets there and he's walking the halls with them.
Well, of course, we talked about Yeager. I mean, Chuck Yeager. Yeager grew up only about 30 miles from where I did in West Virginia. So, and he and I became friends later on as well. And so I could talk to Gene all day about Yeager. And he was. He was always of interest to those of us that are in the space program. Even though he never flew into space, he's the one who led the way. He and Ivan Kinchelo and the other pilots, the original X-plane pilots, really led the way for everybody who followed. But, you know, all those guys, I finally got my private pilot's license, but those guys, when they got to sit down and talk to each other about flying, you know, I just sat down and shut up and yep. listened in awe as they as they talked about it. And CERN, of course, led the way to the moon. A lot of people don't realize that, but the Apollo 10 flight, they deliberately made the limb that he was flying a little bit heavy so that he wouldn't land it. It was like, is CERN actually going to land this thing? Because he was so close to doing it. So he really led the way for Apollo 11 with Armstrong and Aldrin.
Right.
And all they had to do was kind of follow him down. And he bragged about that quite a bit. But it's interesting, the bookends of the Apollo program were Neil Armstrong and Gene Cernan.
Right.
And they were a lot alike. I think Neil was a lot quieter than Gene, but they were both the kind of men who, just as you said, didn't brag about themselves, didn't have to. When they entered the room, you kind of knew that they were in the room, and people deferred to them. And but you know, I love that we had such great people who did walk on the moon. And now that we're starting to lose them, we're going to lose them all here pretty soon.
Yep, it's true.
I hope it's a spur to this country to say, hey, we need to get back there. We keep talking about Mars, and I think Mars is too far away with our present technology. But the moon is right there, and actually the moon is where we need to go back to.
Homer,
we can make the money up there, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. But, and the thing, Homer, is that always amazes me is, and it started with the shuttle program, how much we take, well, frankly, it started late in the Apollo program, how much we take for granted in not knowing these people and not knowing their names. It is a miracle still in 2017 to blast human beings in a rocket into outer space and let them orbit for a while, let them hook up with the International Space Station and get them back safely. And we act like they're going to the grocery store.
Well, I know. And they're often saying, you know, they say, well, we've been to the moon. It's like, well, try it again. It's not as easy as you think. And, yeah, I mean, anybody who, you know, I used to train the astronauts. That was mostly what I did for NASA. And I used to laugh and say, well, I've got a really easy job because I train students who already know everything or think they do.
Right, right, think and, they do, yeah.
But I tell you what, I mean, even though I got mad at them sometimes, anybody with the guts to crawl on board, basically a huge bomb that you hope is going to get directed in the right direction and get you up into space, my hat's off to them. It takes a lot of guts. I don't care who it is to climb on board one of those things. And, that, you know, after a while, we knew the shuttle was a dangerous beast. And so that really took a lot of courage because the astronauts who got on board it knew that it was dangerous, too. And they're all dangerous, even though basically what we're doing right now, flying up to the space station on the Soyuz, is almost the same rocket that Yuri Gagarin flew on back in the early 1960s.
How about that?
It's been proved over time. It's still dangerous, and sometimes those rockets do blow up. But
Homer, how come it's been 40-plus years since I actually didn't know it had been that long? I knew it had been a long time, but when you went back December of 1972, how come it's been so long? And do you think now with Gene's passing, maybe this will reinvigorate the program and we'll get back up to the moon again.
Well, I hope so. It's all political. You know, a lot of people in Congress and so on say, oh, it costs too much money and so on. And that's why they shut down the Apollo program for two reasons. They shut it down because of Apollo 13. A lot of politicians got nervous that we were going to kill some astronauts. So we've gone to the moon. We did what Kennedy said we were going to do. So let's shut it down. And then they shut it down for political reasons. Vietnam was still going on, and the country was a mess. And so let's just shut it down, not worry about it. Let's do some other things. And during all these years, why haven't we gone back? It's still all politics. It's all a matter of leadership.
And gutless members of Congress stepping up to do the right thing as opposed to worrying about keeping their job.
Presidents, too. I'll blame all the presidents.
Well, that's true. That's true. Now it is the presidents as well. Yeah. Hey, before we run out of time, and we're way late already, this movie Hidden Figures has gotten rave reviews, and it's been the number one movie for the last 2 weeks. I only got like a minute here, but what's your take on Hidden Figures, and have you seen it?
I have not seen it, but I look forward to it, but I know about it. And my response on that is that it's great. It's wonderful. I'm glad that they made this movie, and if it just gets one young person interested in the in a technical degree or engineering degree or just interested in the sciences, then I'm all for it. I mean, why not? Let's make mathematicians heroes.
Absolutely. And we do it with athletes every day. Great to talk to you, sir. I'm a fan, and it's a pleasure. I hope we can do it again.
Thank you, Steve. Yes, sir.
All right. And again, check out the website, homerhickam.com, HICKAM.com. CLTV joins us in a moment for the 9 o'clock hour, Q next hour, too. The Wintrust Community Banks Hour.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Nine ten now. Bill Curtis set to join us. That, of course, was the JFK inaugural speech. And the great thing about Bill Curtis and the show Decades is that they have access to news footage that goes back to the JFK inaugural and all of them after that. Bill, ready to go? Is? Okay, standing by now. Let's go to my friend Bill Curtis. Good morning, Mr. Curtis. How are you?
Hello, little Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
And congratulations on being on a show which covers so much time and has so much great footage that finally the holidays and the big events are catching up with you.
Yeah, finally. You know, it's a binge watch. And if you can't sleep, this will help.
Well, you know what? I'm fascinated by this stuff. I've been to a couple of inaugurals, and they're more than just big parties. I mean, you know, get a little cliche, a little sappy here, a little patriotic for a second. But the peaceful transition of power is not something to be taken lightly. And that's what that day is about.
You know, it's like a seam. And this is the most important seam in our social contract. And at that moment, January 20th at noon, when a man raises his hand and takes the oath, that says it all about democracy, the republic, the Constitution, and the order of rule of law. So you're right. It is very important. Of course, everybody is shivering in the cold waiting for the speech to be over so they can go to the parties. And there will be some. You know, this year, of course, is more important or interesting because nobody's going. Right. I won't say that's mean.
Well, but there is some truth to that. Plus, the weather is going to be dreadful on Friday, so that could cut the crowds down as well. But the parties will go on. I don't know about you. I feel badly for Trump in the regards that he has to dance. He doesn't look like a dancer to me.
I don't think he can. But Melania might be.
Yes.
I'd wait for that. That'll be worth it.
That's right. Bill, I can't wait to see the footage from the speeches over the years. How do the inauguration speeches set the tone for the entire presidency?
Well, nobody listens, so you don't know at the time whether or not they do. But when historians go back and look, for instance, the most famous line, I think, is JFK's, "Ask not what your country can do for you." Well, in 1972, Nixon, who's a very talented politician, he may be a crook, but, you know, he was really good and a good writer. He said, "Let each of us not just ask, what will government do for me, but what can I do myself?" Now, that's a good lesson in how to write the same thing and not plagiarize.
Absolutely.
Isn't that great?
You take the backstory of how he felt about the Kennedys, and then to do that lift, that's impressive.
You know, I'll say. And then you have Jimmy Carter, who turned and thanked Gerald Ford, and now every president turns and thanks, you know, the president before him. And you have LBJ and Lady Bird holding the Bible, and that started a tradition. So they all hold the Bible the wives. I've got a line for you that it is the takeaway for the morning, perhaps.
Okay.
America, and this is Nixon in 1969. Picture 1968, one of the most turbulent years. It came right from Chicago, pouring into the streets. Incidentally, you know, 235 members of Congress boycotted that inauguration.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Nixon, there were so many protesters, he couldn't even get out of his car. And it made him a little angry as he was headed for the White House. But here it is, and see if it doesn't apply. America has suffered a fever of words, from inflated rhetoric that promises more than it can deliver, from angry rhetoric that fans discontent into hatreds, from bombastic rhetoric that postures instead of persuading. Now, doesn't that apply
nails
to somebody
it.
You and I know?
Yeah, nails it. Well, but you know, this goes to the major question I have Friday. What is the one thing we saw from POTUS, President-elect Trump, throughout the campaign? If he stayed between the white lines and read the prompter, he could deliver a speech. But if he went off message and started to get off the reservation, we don't know how long we're going to be here, and we don't know what's going to come out of his mouth. So I think it's worth watching it for that potential history-making thing, because he's most comfortable when he's making us uncomfortable.
Well, and we don't know. It's the element of unpredictability, and that's why we will watch. And that probably got him elected.
Yeah,
because he loves the crowd.
Sure.
He feeds off the crowd, and he wants to please them and hear that applause and make them happy. That's what they came to see. And so you don't know. You know, if he stays with what other people write, he'll be okay.
You know, Steve, you speak of Twitter. Bill, don't you think, too, that social media has really just changed everything now? Because we're going to watch decades and see this old footage. Back then, it was you listened to it on the radio, you watched it on the TV. You couldn't rewind.
No.
You couldn't go to YouTube
read
and watch
it
over and over
again. Day.
Yeah.
Everything. You're absolutely right. 8 hours, consider, 8 hours, 14 presidents, and then we'll turn it around and play it again for 8 hours.
Sure.
It is rather remarkable, you know, for binge watching. Why this is the ultimate, you know, it's on 338 Comcast 338.
Yeah, check your local listings, and if it's not easy to find, demand it. It's decades
demand
TV.
It. Yeah, that's right. It's digital. It's the future, but we're a little ahead of the future, I think.
Yeah,
but we're on every day, you know, with an hour of using the archives of CBS to build a documentary of what happened on this day back through the decades.
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
It's a pretty amazing undertaking, too, because it's not so much, hey, get me the footage from today. You actually build a show around it. Mark Carman's here. Say hi to Bill Curtis.
Hi, Bill. Hey, I'm just wondering, when you're watching the way, say, even local news covers somebody like Donald or whoever compared to when you were doing it, what's your reaction? How do you think it's changed?
Well, we talked about social media, and even though, you know, we weren't streaming coverage, we will in the future, that changes everything. I was doing in this radio whip around an interview with a guy in Philadelphia and listening to the news prior to going on, and the mayor, and they said, and the mayor tweeted today,
right,
sit where you want on the protest. Well, now, that was the first time I had heard that it has spread. So anyway, I believe that our coverage, speaking generally, actually CNN's coverage of Trump made him.
I agree.
And they look back now and said, oh, we overdid it. But they didn't know. Again, they didn't know what he was going to say. He was news. I think it'll be different, the next coverage. It'll be different in the amount of money people can spend, I hope.
Well, the other thing, too, is, and you've been around newsrooms your whole life, I don't, you know, and I used to do a bunch of fill-in stuff at CNN and been around plenty of TV newsrooms. I don't ever remember folks in television talking about getting daily calls from a candidate saying, I'm willing to talk. You want to talk to me? I'm ready to talk. Trump did that to the CNN newsroom. He had the hotline, and he called the hotline every morning.
Yeah, and Fox. And he wasn't really smart like a Fox, because he knew that he was getting the name out and getting the, well, he still does it for God's sake.
Sure.
You know, and he'll just burst it. And that's why I have some hope that he doesn't mean it. He's just trying to get attention and keep people off ballots.
Right.
But when it comes down to it, because I was very impressed with his appointments. I mean, three or four of them, the Marines, Tillerson, you know, they just say, no, I don't believe that. We're not.
I agree with you. I think his cabinet picks are pretty strong.
Yeah, very strong. NATO, we need it, you know. So, and I think that he's looking for that. And up to now, he's kept himself isolated enough. He hasn't listened to anybody.
Exactly. Well, but see, we were talking about that earlier. That's why we're sort of hopeful that Melania does stay in New York and Ivanka stays in the White House, because I think she's the only one that has his ear.
It is true.
Yeah.
But it will be an interesting time, won't it?
Yeah.
You look back on Barack Obama and the family and no scandals. We watched the kids grow up. It may be the perfect first family.
I agree.
And yet, if you had your choice between tuning in to the Barack family or to Trump, our lurid, prurient interest would probably go to Trump.
Oh, please. It's the Real Housewives versus PBS, right? I mean, come on, please.
Exactly.
America knows what they want to watch, and it's not the stuff that is on the respectful end of the scale. Like, I'm with you. I'm hopeful, because I think I have to be. And, you know, it's the old Bill Clinton line. There's nothing wrong with America that can't be fixed by what's right with America. And my hope is there's enough levers and safety valves in place. And as I've said many times, I've said this on stage, people want to worry about the nuclear codes. They're not going to give them the real codes. They're going to give them like a Nerf football. And, you know, just tell them those are the codes. We're going to be fine.
Yeah, I think he's baiting everybody, you know, including the CIA and all the intelligence. Sure, they're, you know, upset, but he doesn't mean it. Anyway, who knows? I have one thing that I'd like to leave you with.
Yes,
and that is, the most interesting.
He just got disconnected.
Oh, no.
What a great tease.
The most interesting.
What a great setup. I have the most interesting thing, and then he hangs up. What a power move by Curtis. All right, get him back. We can't leave us hanging on that. We'll take a break. 720 WGN. All right, it is 925. I've asked Sandberg to join us as we get to the bottom of Curtis Gate. When Bill Curtis said, the most interesting thing is click. And then the phone went dead. We thought it was a mechanical. It turns out the service that was doing the technical end of the phone call hung up on us.
Yeah, they did.
And they hung up on the last interview he was doing as well.
Yes, because he was going
overtime to
another interview. Yeah, so with no warning.
See, occasionally, I've talked about this before, occasionally if somebody's talking a long time. By the way, the reason they're talking a long time, they're having a good time.
That's right.
They're having a good time and the interview is good. But occasionally you'll hear like a clicking. You know, which is some sort of producer person in the background, you know, sending a signal that you're over time. We got to get out. But most of the time, they're in Sandberg's ear and they're going, "You got to help me out here. We got to get out."
Right.
You don't hang up on people.
Not in the middle, especially when he's doing the big tease.
You hang up on Bill Curtis?
Or when they connect you, you usually get a heart. You know, we have a heart out at 9:20, and he has to be
Bill
off.
Bill Curtis will have those people killed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I will say the guy that sets up the tour, John, is fabulous. So he's not.
John works with Bill at Decades?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
like
he's
John.
Great.
Well,
this,
the Decades,
this
no,
woman,
no,
she wasn't super friendly when she connected and obviously was not friendly when she cut him off. So.
No, it's not the Decades TV folks. We love those guys, and we love Curtis. But we'll never know what the really interesting thing was.
You'll have to watch and then deduce for yourself what
you know
the
what?
Most important thing
In
is.
Honor of the Decades, let's write him a letter and mail it to him and ask him to mail back what the interesting thing was.
There you go.
And in a week, we'll know.
We'll know,
That's
yeah.
perfect, yeah.
So, all right.
If the mail gets to us on time. Because, you know.
All right, thanks, Sandberg. Hey, but it wasn't Bill Curtis's fault. It was the, I don't want to say... you know, the word, but it was the woman that hung up on us.
Would that be his producer or just his handler?
The biatch.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. The handler. By the way, this Decades. Uh-oh.
What happened there? Was that you?
No, that wasn't me. I don't have access to the phone.
I'm not even touching the phone. Now
oh, that was Jake. That was
on?
Jake being funny.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Wait, we need to. We need the click up sign. Decades is fantastic.
It is cool. It's a cool
I mean,
show.
They do the 70s, the 80s. Yep. This is going to be super interesting. I do want to make a quick clarification. President Obama's press conference will be tomorrow.
Oh,
tomorrow.
It's tomorrow, not today.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So tomorrow, last presser as president.
9:28 coming back with a big story, and Coach Q is still to come. Bill and Wendy at 10. You're watching CLTV and listening to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
People try to put us to down.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things ain't do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my
We play the Who for Coach Q. The Coach Q situation is sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. And I don't know if you know this about Hooters, Carms. It's not just a restaurant. It's a way of life.
I agree.
Yeah.
I love Hooters.
There you go. Coach Q will join us in a moment from Colorado. They will play the Avs tonight. You ever been in the Blackhawks dressing room?
Of course.
Yeah, many times.
Many, many.
Do you agree with me that they are the easiest athletes to deal with?
Pretty easy, no doubt about it. The Cubs actually have a great crew right now, but in general,
yeah,
hockey way always at the top.
I would rank level of cooperation of the four major sports to be hockey a clear number one, followed by baseball if you get the right group because you're around these guys that follow you all season long, then football, then basketball.
Yeah. Generally true. Football, you get no access nowadays. Like, you know, the Bears, the locker room's open at Hallis for an hour. They don't even go in
but
there.
But the NBA guys can be difficult.
Sometimes. It's a bit,
you're a suck-up for the NBA.
I love
You've
the
always
NBA.
Been a suck-up
I love
for the NBA.
NBA. Don't dog the NBA. It's personal when you attack the NBA, not that you're really attacking
no,
the NBA.
No, the great thing about the NBA is you only need to watch the last 2 minutes of the game.
Stop. Just
yeah,
stop.
Because it's three-pointers and free throws. It's three-pointers until you get to the end and then attack a whoever.
When's the last time you were at an NBA game?
Last year.
Okay, last
oh,
year.
Oh, yeah, we went with Mark Doyle. Remember Rags of Honor?
Did you have a good time?
Yeah.
The old, yeah, okay.
We spent. You know what though? We
I used to be a huge NBA fan.
We had a big group though. We spent a lot of time talking with each other.
I just think the NBA needs, and by the way, I don't have the answer, but I think the NBA needs some sort of rules adjustment to make it not run and gun and free throws.
People want to see offense. They want it in the NFL. They try to
but
get
But what
it.
Happened to a turnaround 10-footer? Can you tell we're still waiting on Coach Q?
Yeah.
What happened to a turnaround 10-footer? What happened to a little pull-up jumper from the free throw
pull-up jumpers
no,
going
No, there's
on.
Not.
No, not enough pull-up jumpers.
No.
So if they added in some pull-up
What happened
jumper?
To a fadeaway? What happened to a 10-foot fall-away?
You telling me that LeBron...
Oh, Coach Q's on the line. time now for Coach Q, live from the road.
Smooth.
Yeah. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Again, sponsored by Hooters, America's Wing Joint. Not just a way of life, but America's Wing Joint. All right. Am I right about this? Is this the father-son trip?
Yes, it is.
Who you got on the road with you?
My son, Dylan.
Well, that's got to be cool.
It's fun. He's been on a few. I think it's his third one. they enjoy it. I think everybody has fun with it, and the camaraderie and the, you know, get to see practices, get to see how spoiled we are, how we travel, how we eat, how we hang out. So it's a, I think everybody gets to see the experience, and at the end of it, they're going to say, you know what, you can't eat everything that's put in front of you on this trip.
Now, how old's Dylan?
Dylan's 25.
And so he's got a job. He's taking some time off for this, and he's hanging out with you. That's got to be fun for you, man. That's great. And I know the dads of the players, there's always one or two that are like the biggest characters. You know what I'm saying? Bickle's dad used to be a ton of fun. Bickle's dad was one of those guys that it was never shy and was a lot of fun to talk to. So you got a couple dads that stand out?
It's early. It's early. So we got a couple of extra days there. You know, it's an early day one. But, you know, I would say right now there's no leader in the clubhouse yet. So it's okay. We'll find out here. So as we progress.
Yeah, the scouting is continuing. Yeah, without a doubt. All right, Colorado tonight. This is basically a 500 club. You're coming off a bad weekend, which doesn't need to be made. Let's not make a mountain out of a molehill. It's a bad weekend. But how do you, you know, snap out of that weekend and move forward here?
Well, we want to get back to find a way to get some points here. And last game we had a good start. Kind of thought we did a good job rebounding from Friday's disaster, and then did some good things in that game and found out that hey, Minnesota's got a heck of a team, and we weren't complete in our game, and that's gave up some goals that we rather easily, and I think that's what we got to prevent for sure. And I think we can be better both sides of the puck, and we can get a little bit more consistency. But I think that's kind of been a work in progress this year, and that's what we're trying to attain, more puck possession, having the puck better, and putting it in positions where we can keep it. And we have signs of it coming out of it, and then we all of a sudden, like the last game of that, we got away from it as the game progressed.
Jonathan Toews, Coach Q, one goal in his last eight games. Do you even pay attention to that type of stat? Is it something that you're aware of even? Because that's what the highlight. Well, Toews, you got to get Toews going. But do you even look at the actual numbers like that?
Well, numbers. I think the actual, whether it's the numbers, whether it's possession, chances, shots, and plus minus four chances, something we look at as well. And I think everybody is offensive guys, want to produce, and they're going to have some stretches where everything goes in, and some stretches where they're having a hard time finding the way to score goals. And that line has been the last three or four games. We're going to probably flip flop the lines a little bit today, and see if we can get some magic on a couple different lines. And the one line's been doing a lot of the scoring for us, and getting some balance in the production area would be something we're looking for.
You want to make an announcement on the lines, or being the...
Not yet. No, not okay. yet. We'll work it out in practice today.
All right. Well, you're still the Line King, remember? We named him the Line King.
We have a shirt, too, right?
Yeah,
the shirts as well. Yeah, exactly. Sandberg, say hi to Coach.
Hey, Coach. I wanted to know, had there been a dad's trip back when you played, what would be the biggest difference between how you guys traveled then and how you travel now?
Oh, the big difference? Oh, we charter our own planes. We have the way we have pregame meals. We used to a lot of times eat on your own, but they have big meals together, and the spread of food is off the charts.
I would think, too, the dads from Q's era would have spent the whole trip doing this. I don't know how the hell they're spending money on this. This is how they get you. This is how they get you. Look at all the money they're throwing away. That would have been the dads from our era.
Well, they'd have been saying, I'll have another.
right. Right. Hey, I know you're coaching, son, but give me a beer.
Yeah. So, there you go.
All right, so the Avs, you play a team like the Avs, and, I still say they end up 500 at the end of the year, but they've been struggling mightily. Do you have a preference when you catch a team that's hurting? Because to me, every night, somebody wants a piece of the Hawks. It doesn't matter if you're playing number one in the league or the last team in the league.
Yeah, this team has been home here for a couple of days here, and he's been putting through the paces here. They're not happy with what's going on here. So I think every team, when you're playing them, has got issues. Sometimes we happen to be playing Washington the other day as good as they've been playing at any moment, and we found out instantly that they are for real. And we saw Minnesota going in 15-1-1 and 16 out of it. And all of a sudden, we saw how good they play. And it's, you know, you got to be ready no matter what the opponent is. And it's, you know, we got to take care of what we have to take care of. And it's our own team game. And I think that consistency is what we're trying to get here. And, you know, we've had stretches where it's, it looks like it's coming along here nice and in the right place. And then we had four wins going into those two games. And all of a sudden, okay, let's find a way to get recapture the feeling of what it takes to get points. And, you know, keep the puck out of our net, particularly some goals here that are seem to be preventable that all of a sudden make the difference at the end of the night.
Well, have fun tonight. You ever have one of the dads on the trip lobby you to get his kid more ice time?
I'm going to say no. No,
yeah. But, I'm guessing that wouldn't go well.
That's a minor hockey thing, though. But at our level, it's no. I can honestly say no. But it's an interesting question. So,
hey, listen, enjoy your time with your kid and all the other dads. I bet it's a fun trip, and we'll see you when you get back.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
That's Coach Q. Coach Q, live from the road in Colorado with the Av. What time's the game tonight?
That'll be a 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock puck drop on 720 WGN.
Steve. Oh, yeah, we got mountain time, don't we?
We do. Yeah. We do.
Hey, you guys don't know this, but unless you were listening earlier, but somebody sent me the speech, speaking of sports here, the speech that Trump would have given if the Cubs came in after Friday. Because originally the timing, you remember Obama moved it up so he could do the Cubs thing?
Yeah, and Laura Ricketts requested that too, and he did it.
Yeah, so that they end up with Obama, but they could have ended up with Trump. Anyway, I have the speech Trump would have given. I'll read it to you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'll read it to you when we come back, like I haven't done it already. It's 9:50, Bill or Wendy coming up at 10 on 720 WGN.
I get 4 more days.
So the Cubs were at the White House yesterday, and they were originally not going to make it before Obama leaves office on Friday. They moved it up. So Donald Trump actually wrote a speech that he was going to give when the Cubs were there, which somebody forwarded to me.
How'd you get it?
Listen, I can't talk about my sources, obviously. But I'm going to go ahead and read it. I'm not going to do a Trump impression because I don't do one, and it would just be a bad Trump impression. I sort of decided off the air, my Trump impression sort of is Ronald Reagan.
A little bit. Yeah.
I'd like to welcome you.
Especially when you went huge.
Right. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it to you. This is the text as written by Donald Trump. I'd like to welcome the world champion Chicago Cubs to my house, sometimes called the White House, but we'll probably change it to the House of Trump. Is that great or what? I want to congratulate the Cubs on winning the World Series. As you know, they were huge losers. But last year they won, just like Trump, which I think we can agree is no coincidence. I mean, come on, don't be stupid. The crooked media probably won't even cover this. You know, they didn't say anything about the World Series. I think we all remember that. But they'll probably do it today because I'm talking about them, which is terrific. I'm terrific. They're terrific. So we love the Cubs. Am I right? Tremendous. As a matter of fact, I was talking to their owner, terrific guy, very good friend of mine for a lot of years, Tim Rickles. And he said, and a lot of people are saying this, Trump isn't saying this, other people are saying this, Trump inspired the Cubs to win. People are saying that. And it's true. It's true. You can see it in a lot of ways. Like their great third baseman, Chris Bryant. He's terrific. Isn't he terrific, folks?
Terrific.
I was just talking to him before I came out here, and he told me he's from Las Vegas, which is a tremendous town. And I gave him some advice, which I know he appreciated. I said, stick with the American prostitutes. You can't always count on the Russian hookers to keep their big mouths shut. And I could tell by the look on his face, he was amazed.
No, please.
Then there's the big guy at first base. You know, that's the position when Trump played. I was a terrific athlete. Could have played for the Yankees. Was a great hitter like I am now. You can hit Trump, but Trump's going to hit back. I'm going to hit back hard with a vicious tweet that I can hide behind. But Anthony Rizzo, very good friend of mine. You know, I gave him his nickname, the Big Rizzo. Everybody calls him that. I think we can agree. And then there's the great pitcher. He couldn't be here today, Jake Areola. He loves Trump, but he wasn't here. But that's okay because I'm going to give him a high-paying cabinet position coaching my son, Barron, which is tremendous because he's a great athlete. Not as good as his father, you understand, but still really good. So here we are with the Chicago Cubs. Hillary Clinton claims she's a fan of the Cubs. Lying Hillary. We know it's not true because she's not here. But then again, why would she be here? Because she lost huge to Trump. She lost bigly to Trump. Too bad, Hillary. So sad. And the Cubs, of course, have a great manager, John Madden. think we all remember him as a big league NFL football coach, broadcaster. Looks great, doesn't he? Looking good, John. You've lost a lot of weight. And Mayor Rahm Emanuel's here. Wants to be Trump's friend now. Oh, yeah. Supported Hillary. Good move, Mayor. I think we know how that worked out. Don't be a moron, Rahm. But we're glad you're here, Mayor. Aren't we glad he's here, people? Aren't we glad he's here? But where else would he be? Walking in the woods with Hillary? Come on, people. Lastly, I want to thank all the Mexican players who probably don't speak any English. You know, you can hit a ball over the wall at Wrigley Field, but you're never going to get over the wall I'm putting up, so you're never going to see your families again. Too bad. So sad. So thanks for coming, Cubbies. I'm going to have my very good friend, the Vice President Mike Spencer, give you a huge, tremendous, very classy tour. And I've told my super hot and sexy wife, Melania, to pick one of you guys out for a quickie in the Lincoln bedroom. Oh. You see, I'm a great husband, and she was mad about a business trip I took to Moscow. A very important trip. I told her I'd get her something. Okay, folks, so on behalf of Vladimir and me, congratulations to the Chicago Cubs, world champions, just like me, not lightweights at all, winners like Trump. Now I got to go tweet Wolf Blitzer, huge loser. I'm Trump out.
No time for questions, Mr. Trump?
No questions. No questions.
That's surprising.
And I think if he had the piano player on every one of his speeches, that'd be great. Bill and Wendy next. Thanks for watching CLTV and listening to 720 WGN.